Ephesians 5 at verse 1. Therefore be followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See, then, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. In thankfulness do we come to this thy word and trust the Spirit of God, Father, for enlightenment, for the enlarging of our understanding in all wisdom. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In Proverbs and all of the Bible, wisdom is to be prized. Wisdom is a possession to be pursued. It says here that we are not to be unwise, but therefore wise. What is wisdom? I give you a profound definition. Are you ready? Wisdom is simply knowing what to do with what you know in the Word of God. Now, that isn't hard. Wisdom is not information. Wisdom is not knowledge. We must have information and knowledge, indeed, to be wise. But there are people filled with knowledge, with information, with biblical facts, who are not wise. Wisdom is knowing, as unto the Lord, what to do with what we know. And what it says here, that we are to be wise, we are to understand it is the immediate context of this obligatory command to be filled with the Spirit of God. We have on these Sunday mornings been in something of an unofficial sermon series. I haven't labeled it a series, But since the day of Pentecost, the last Sunday of May, we have considered the three commands related to fullness. For the Spirit, for the Son, for the Father are fully at work in a life and in a church. We look at this command again in its context this morning. And I just remind you, when we looked at the command itself, we understand that principally, by way of the contrast of 5:18 in Ephesians, the Spirit's fullness has to do with control. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. I want us to understand that we cannot use Spirit-filled as a code word for those who claim certain special gifts. It is used that way, but the Bible does not use it that way. And it's an interesting thing to me amongst us conservative Christians that we give quick lip service to the truth that the Bible is our only infallible rule for faith and practice, and yet so quickly, do we set that aside and accept claims and experiences as though they validate, even when they are in conflict with Scripture. The fullness of the Son is in chapter 1, the fullness of the Father in chapter 3, the fullness of the Spirit, chapter 5 in Ephesians, and nowhere in this epistle, I repeat, is there a word about miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. Nowhere. And I would ask you, in understanding this command, and I believe joining me in a holy desire that Trinity be a church knowing the fullness and freedom and fruitfulness of God the Holy Spirit, of God the Son, of God the Father, that we understand what the indications are in the Scripture of the fullness of the Spirit. What is the context, then? In that which precedes the command, in verses 1 through 17 of Ephesians, the key word for the context is walk. It's there three times. 5:2, walk in love. 5:8, walk in the light. 5:15, walk circumspectly. Some of you with keen memories may recall that years ago I preached those three points in this pulpit. And it was one of those times when I just assisted the Apostle Paul gently, in alliteration that is. You know, he had two L's, love and light. He should have had a third, right? So instead of circumspectly, limits. That's what circumspection is. Setting boundaries, limits. Walk in love, walk in light. Walk within limits, biblically. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. That's the context. The context has nothing to do with miraculous gifts or claims. It has to do with conduct. It has to do with character. And then following the command in verse 18, in verses 19, 20, and 21, worship. Worship is invigorated when there is fullness of Spirit, and it relates to our relationship corporately in worship. It depends on participation and presence. The fullness of the Spirit in worship. whatever the style, I say again, let it be clear. If I repeat it often enough, perhaps it will be clear. I don't require everyone to take our style. I have every right to be wrong. But I don't want them who choose another style, noisy, exuberant as it may be, to say that because we have not their style, we have not the fullness of the Spirit in our midst. Walk. Worship. These are the arenas in which the fullness of the Spirit gives evidence of His presence and power. And then there's a third area, beginning in 5:22, where it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord," and all the way down into chapter 16 through verse 9, it is what I call workability. The fullness of the Spirit is a very workable thing. It works, as indicated in the last section of chapter 5, in marriage, and gets things in order. It occurs to me that we need fewer people making their livelihood off of seminars on marriage and family life, and we need more understanding and implementation of what the Bible teaches. The Spirit's fullness is worked out in the right roles and relationships in marriage and in child-parent relationships. Chapter 6, 1 through 4. There it is. The Spirit's fullness is workable in those relationships. And then verses 5 through 9 of Ephesians 6, looking at the context of the command to be filled with the Spirit. Business affairs, your work world. You can't have the fullness of the Spirit segmented off to Sunday morning and to this sanctuary. The fullness of the Spirit works in the whole arena of life and business affairs. Daily commerce, profession. There's the greater context of being filled with the Spirit. Walk, worship, workability in the home, in marriage, with children, and in daily commerce. We look at the walk. First and foremost, we would conclude, because it precedes the command, and there is a therefore logically in the language here, in light of the walk, therefore, do not be unwise in who controls your mind and emotions and decisions, but be wise and to control the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The walk in love. Love is not sentiment, it's not friendliness. Nothing wrong with those things. Sometimes we get those things confused, and love becomes very weak, mushy. Calvary love, as someone else has said long before me, was tough love. Walk in love, even as Christ also loved us and has given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. He's the standard. He did not go to the cross in your stead out of sentiment, or feeling good about you, or friendliness. He went because consciously He decided to love you with an everlasting love and draw you with cords of love. And that, in Old Testament language about the sacrificial system, provides a sweet-smelling aroma to God. But will you notice in every one of these walk words, walk in love, walk in the light, walk within limits, There is both a positive and a negative every time. Related to walking in love, there is a positive command to follow, and there are negative commands about things to avoid. That's our job. The Spirit's job is to point those things out. The Spirit's job is to prompt the will. The Spirit's job is to convict us of wrong. It is our job to do what we know. That's wisdom. Acting wisely is unto the Lord Jesus. It is the strength of the Spirit, albeit doing what we know to be right, avoiding what we know to be wrong. And so, the Lord Jesus giving us an example about loving us, His life, His sacrifice, smells good to God. That's what a sweet-smelling aroma is in the Old Testament sacrificial system. I'm not sure any of those sacrifices to the physical nose smelled good. I don't see how it can be with animals and blood and fire. But to God it was pleasing, acceptable. Bad odors are offensive. I want to be careful about being too earthy sometimes in the pulpit. This is the sacred desk. It is to be guarded. The Puritans called it the sacred desk, and I concur in the terminology. There are things inappropriate here. And yet I want to say that unless by the Spirit we are walking in love and light and within limits, all of our religious experience can smell bad to God. Bad odors sometimes mean death, don't they? Our younger son lost his championship retriever. We picked him at random out of the litter, and he turned out to be a perfect specimen. Wonderful dog named Kingsford for the charcoal. He disappeared. We did everything to find him. And may I say it delicately? Finally, we smelled him. Bitten by a snake, we think, he burrowed down in the ivy and straw far at the back of a deep lot. We all cried. He was dead. He smelled bad. A dead life, religious, active, noisy, a dead church. Noisy, full, active, programmed, can smell bad. Oh, walk in love, Trinity, filled with the Spirit, understanding what the will of the Lord is, putting into practical practice Calvary's love or light. He casts His light far beyond information, far beyond fact, upon the sacred page and shows us things positively and negatively again. Notice that. Positively, according to walking in the light, verse 10 is to prove what is acceptable to the Lord. And then negatively, beginning in verse 11, as we walk in the light, we have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, we expose them. One of the clear evidences that we are not filled with the Spirit and thus walking in the light is that we get accustomed to things we ought not to be accustomed to. We accommodate things from culture and society. We're to reprove things. I interjected at 8:15 what I will repeat now at 11, that if the Lord tarries next Sunday evening on the holiday, I plan to preach on the relationship again of church and state as I did last year on Independence Day weekend. This year, I trust, to say what it is the church should speak to the state, and in turn what we should expect of the state. I weary of conservative Christians and their criticism of the state. There are some corrections that need to be made. I don't know how to vote on Tuesday. And I don't want you to tell me. I don't support the incumbent in the White House. But we have asked the state to do what the church at home ought to be doing. And we've criticized the state for not doing our job. We have become accommodated and accustomed in the church to all sorts of things that smell bad in heaven. Walk in the Spirit, in the fullness, in the light of what you and I understand and know to be the will of God. Walk in the light. And prove things acceptable, pleasing to the Lord. Here's the question we ask. Not what's wrong with a thing, but does it please the Lord? And how does it please the Lord? When we begin to ask the question, and it ought to drop away from us in sanctifying maturity, we are moving very close to the edge of darkness. But when we ask, rather, how does it please the Lord? Does it please the Lord? We are moving away from darkness into the center of light. Be filled with the Spirit. And walk in the light, asking that question, how does it please the Lord? How will it praise Him and prosper His people? Not, can I do it and still be a Christian? What's wrong with it? Walk in love. Walk in the light as He is in the light. Walk circumspectly. There are limits to be set. There are edges at chasms to be avoided. Don't be a fool. Many a Christian has plunged to fruitlessness because he lived on the edge and fell. Let him who thinks he stands take heed with circumspection, lest he fall. Walk in love, light, limits. There are things to set aside, forsake, be separate from. Our problem often is not understanding. Rather, it falls more in the category not wanting to understand. It might interrupt. It might disrupt. It might require change. So many times we use that as an excuse, I don't understand it. You didn't want to understand it. Very likely. The Spirit of God will always be faithful in giving His fullness. But our responsibility is a determination to do what we are commanded and to avoid foot is forbidden to be filled with the Spirit is not to be passive, but to pursue arduously even in the power and strength of the Spirit the walk. Do you care whether or not Trinity is Spirit-filled? Your home, your life. I don't want to perpetuate religious activity. I want to know the fullness of the Spirit and the fullness of the Son and the fullness of the Father and all the fruitfulness that comes thereby. Now says St. Paul, having spoken of our walk, our deportment, our decisions, our conduct, our character, don't be foolish. Understand it. Set your mind with determination to understand it. The Spirit will show us what to do with what we know. I close by reading from Philip's translation this portion we have considered in Ephesians 5. J.B. Phillips was saved in the Church of England as an adult. He set about to put the Bible in modern English, modern British English, you understand, which, if you will allow me, is a notch or two above modern American English. J.B. Phillips did not claim to make this an original translation. It is a paraphrase, and therefore I do not use it regularly to read and preach from in the pulpit, but I use it supplementally. Listen. Just listen to the lesson and see if you don't get it and understand it. Be willing to understand it. That's the requirement. Be willing to understand it. As children copy their fathers, you as God's children are to copy Him. Live your lives in love. The same sort of love which Christ gives us and which He perfected when He expressed His love and gave Himself up for us in the sacrifice to God. But as for sexual immorality in all its forms and the itch to get your hands on what belongs to other people, don't even talk about such things. They are no fit subjects for Christians to talk about. The keynote of your conversation should not be nastiness or silliness or flippancy, but a sense of awe that we owe to God. For this much you can be quite certain, that neither the immoral nor the dirty-minded nor the covetous man, which latter is in effect worshipping a false god, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Don't let anyone fool you on this point. However plausible his argument, it is these very things which bring down the wrath of God upon the disobedience have nothing to do with men like that. Once you were darkness, but now you are light. Live then as children of the light. The light produces in men quite the opposite of sins like these. Everything that is wholesome and good and true. Let your lives be living proofs of the things which please God. Steer clear of the activities of darkness. Let your lives show by contrast how dreary and futile these things are. You know the sorts of things I mean. To detail their secret doings is really too shameful for me to write. For light is capable of showing up everything for what it really is. It is even possible, after all, it happened with you, for light to turn the thing it shines upon into light also. Live life, then, with a due sense of responsibility, not as men who do not know the meaning and purpose of life, but of those who do. Make the best use of your time. Despite all the difficulties of these days, don't be vague, but firmly grasp what you know to be the will of the Lord. Wisdom, knowing what to do with what you know. God, give us wisdom in this place. Amen.